Well, it's lovely to be here. And it's a bit strange, isn't it? I'm sort of reminded there was a TV program when I was young, which was a long time ago. Something about the Mask of Zorro, I seem to remember, and Cape Crusaders. And it all feels a bit like that, doesn't it? A bit like a film set. But here we are, and it's great to be meeting together to worship God. I'd like to pray. I need that before we go any further, so why don't we do that now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for protecting us, but above all, we thank you, Father, for the gift of life, eternal, everlasting life in the Lord Jesus. We praise you for him. We thank you for him. All our hope is in him. But we pray now you'd help us to listen. Help me, please, to be clear in explaining this part of your word. In his name, amen. Can you hear all right? Can you hear? Great, okay. Well, I can remember a number of times growing up, maybe you can too, when I realized I was wrong big time and that I was in serious trouble. That sinking feeling, butterflies in your stomach and getting weak at the knees and thinking, what is going to happen to me? And this story here, I think, is about realizing the overwhelming truth that all of us naturally are completely in the wrong with God. And why facing up to that is actually a very good thing. And Luke has told us back in chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus has just begun his ministry. And in the synagogue at Nazareth, Jesus announces his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord, he says, is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. See, Jesus' mission is to bring good news to people who are captive to sin, people who are blind to truth, and people who know they're spiritually oppressed. And here now in verse 3 in our reading, we see the crowd is pressing in on Jesus. Pressing in on him to hear the word of God. Jesus is doing exactly what he said he came to do, proclaiming good news to poor sinners. And you remember the rest of the story, I'm sure. Jesus borrows Peter's fishing boat to teach crowds on the shore, all lined up there. And now he tells Peter to take his boat out and fish. And he promises Peter it'll be worth it. But Peter's the expert, isn't he? Peter knows the lake. Peter's been fishing probably all his adult life or more. And Peter, the expert, is skeptical. But it seems he's impressed enough with Jesus to do what he says. And the result is utterly astonishing. And it is, isn't it? Verse 6. When they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Now, I'm sure John Scobell will tell you that that is a miracle. Is that right, John? Yeah. And the catch is so large that they begin to sink two boats. This is unheard of, isn't it? But what Luke, who wrote the story, wants us to notice, first of all, I think, is how this affected Peter. Simon Peter, verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Now, that's another extraordinary thing, isn't it? Peter reacting like this. I think Luke's showing us that Jesus reveals the holy God to sinners. Jesus reveals the holy God to sinners. He reveals to sinful people how holy God really is and what big trouble that means that we are in. I think it seems Peter's thinking something like this. If Jesus knows all about the lake and everything in it, he must know all about me and what I'm really like inside. And actually, Peter, I hadn't realised this, but it's there, it's obvious, isn't it? Peter reacts like the prophet Isaiah did. I'm sure you know that too. Most of us will remember Isaiah 6, when Isaiah's called to serve the Lord. And he's given a vision of God when he's in the temple, and it's so overwhelming that he cries out, like Peter, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah and Peter actually react like all the other people in the Bible when they see who God really is. And in the New Testament, it's who Jesus really is. And when they do, they're overcome by a sense of their own sinfulness, and they fall down on their knees. And what does that mean for us this morning? Well, Jesus came to take away our spiritual blindness. He came to reveal the holy God to us. When people today see who Jesus really is, like Peter, they're convicted of their own sin and guilt. And we realise that we are spiritually poor, that we are blind, naturally. We are oppressed, and we are captive to sin. That's our natural state. And we feel we're not just not fit to be anywhere near God. And we feel compelled, like Peter, to confess that. And I hope you won't mind me asking, do you know that verdict is true of you? Do you know that? That's the reality. Have you seen it? Have you confessed your sinfulness and unworthiness to God? And if not, that now would be a good day to do that, wouldn't it? Because, and it goes on, because facing up to God's verdict on us and confessing our sinfulness wholeheartedly, like Peter, falling down before Jesus and saying, like him, in our own words, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful person." Well, it means amazingly, and it is amazing, Jesus effectively opens the door and welcomes us in to be friends with him. And that's what happens here. And that's the second thing to notice. Jesus welcomes sinners. Jesus welcomes sinners to help him in his mission. I think that's astonishing, actually. I was so excited when I saw that. I've been reading this for about 40 or 50 years. I've never really seen it. So exciting. But that's the second thing to notice. Jesus welcomes sinners to help him in his mission. It seems so unlikely, doesn't it? But it's true. So have a look at Jesus' response to Peter. See verse 10 if you've got it there. "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men and women.'" Instead of sending Peter away because he's so unworthy, Jesus responds to Simon Peter's confession by welcoming him to come with Jesus in his ministry of telling the good news to other poor sinners. Peter's still going to be fishing, but now it's going to be for people. If you've seen Les Miserables, or as we know it, Les Mis, there's a book, there's a musical, there's even an opera, I think, and there's a film. I think there are two films. So I guess a number of us have probably seen it. Well, I think one of the most heart-wrenching scenes, and there are lots of them in the story, is when the beggar, Jean Valjean, is caught stealing the bishop's candlesticks. He's so desperate that he steals the bishop's candlesticks at night, and when he's caught, he thinks he's done for. He thinks that's it. But instead of handing him over to the police, the bishop insists that the candlesticks are a gift to Jean, and he gives him other valuables to take as well. So unexpected. I remember seeing it for the first time and thinking, wow, oof, what a relief. It's something like that, but multiplied millions of times when we realize how sinful we are and we feel we've really got to run away from God. But no, amazingly, instead, Jesus welcomes us to come with him in his mission. So as we finish, it's really no wonder, is it, verse 11. When they brought their boats to land, Peter and his companions left everything, left it all there, and followed Jesus. And I think this is the, you know, it really proves that it's genuine. And it tells us whether our faith is genuine too. Do you know something of that feeling of following Jesus, being on his side, and just doing what we can? We're not apostles. We're not called to do exactly what the apostles did here, but doing what we can in his mission to bring God's good news to other poor sinners is such a privilege. Have you glimpsed that? That it's actually worth more than anything in this world. It really is. Why don't we just pray to know more of that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the stories of Jesus. We thank you that they amaze us, that they are astonishing. We thank you for the wonder of your forgiveness. We pray that we would each know that. We pray that we would turn to you. And if we need to again, that we would turn to you again. And Lord, we pray that you give us joy in doing what we can to bring your good news to other poor sinners. Amen.